The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
How many of you have seen the movie The Blind Side? You guys seen the movie The Blind Side? Okay. There's a great, awesome, great scene. If you haven't seen it, I would suggest that this, you make this one of the movies you need to see. In it, it's a great story about a family that makes a decision to do something that changes their lives. And actually, Sandra Bullock won Best Actress Award for it. She plays the part of Leanne Toohey. And what Leanne does is she sees this young man walking along the side of the road with her family. She's driving with her family. And they stop and they talk to him to make sure he's okay. And they think he's fine, so they continue driving. And then what they do is that Leanne tells her husband, turn around. And this is what happens after her husband turns the car around.
Big Mike. Hey, my name's Leanne Jimmy Mike. Let's go to Wingate. You said you were going to the gym. School gym's closed. Why were you going to the gym? Big Mike, why were you going to the gym?
Because it's warm.
Do you have any place to stay tonight? Don't you dare lie to me.
Seen that boat many times.
It's a great story. And in this story, this family takes this young man in, this homeless man in, and it chronicles how it helped him to not only find a family, but also to reach his God-given potential. He escapes the hopelessness and the dysfunction of the inner city upbringing, and he becomes the first round pick of the NFL draft pick for the Baltimore Ravens in 2009. And a few years after the movie came out, a few years after it came out, Sean Toohey, the actual husband, was at a fundraiser, and he was talking about how his family was transformed. And that transformation started with those two words that his wife told him. Turn around. Turn around. Those two words can change your life. Those two words will change everything. It changed Michael's life. It changed the Toohey's life. And it changed it forever. And it'll change your life forever. When we change the directions, we're turning to something new, something exciting, something better than what we had before. And it's interesting because as Jesus is getting ready to start his ministry, that's what he tells people to do. He tells them to turn around. Jesus had just spent 40 days in the desert fasting. He was tempted by Satan. And during that time, his cousin John is arrested. So Jesus comes out. He goes back to Galilee. He goes to the city Capernaum to begin his ministry. And he begins his ministry in that city. And the question is, how do you do that? How do you begin a ministry? And I was thinking about this week, you know, how would we begin a ministry? Well, obviously, if you know me, the first thing I'd say, we'd be praying about it. A lot of praying about it. But then we would, once we prayed about it, we'd gather people who are interested in it, we'd plan it, we'd get volunteers together, plan out how it's going to work, we'd advertise it, right? We'd talk about it, we'd have this big launch on the big day. But that's not how Jesus does it. The first thing that Jesus does is that he makes a demand of those who would hear him. And we see this in Matthew 4:17. It says, from that time, after he had returned out of the desert, from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Everybody say, repent. Repent. Say it again. Repent. Okay. And we know the word. So what Matthew is saying basically is Jesus is coming along and he is saying, you have been doing everything wrong. Because if you're repenting from something, you're going towards something, it's not right. It's not the way to go. You need to repent and go a different way. And Jesus says, you've been doing it wrong. Now, don't know about you, but I'm not so sure I would start a ministry that way. Okay, guys, you've been doing it all wrong. We're going to change how you're going to do it now. But that is what Jesus does. If I came up to Dean and says, Dean, I'm sorry, you've been cutting your grass all wrong. What would I say? What would you do?
You can do it.
I can do it. You have been cutting your grass perfect. Who tells somebody that they're doing it wrong to start something? But that's what Jesus does. And that's what he's telling us. He's telling us, you on your own, you're doing it wrong. You're going to do it the wrong way. You're not following what you should do. You need to repent. And why? Because the kingdom of God is near. Now, he's not trying to offend anybody. That's not his, well, I don't know. He might have had that a little bit. He's not trying to offend us when he tells us to repent. He loves us. I mean, if I see Caleb doing something wrong that I know is going to cause him trouble, I'm not going to say, oh, I love him so much. I'm just going to let him go ahead and do it, right? He gets into the knife drawer, pulls out our biggest butcher knife, and he's going to cut cheese that he wants to eat. You know, I am not going to say, well, I love him so much. I'm just going to let him cut that with that big knife. I'm going to say, no, either let me cut it. Watch me cut my hand off. Or I'm going to say, here, let me show you how to do that. See, but Jesus understands that we need to repent first. Repentance must come first. Now, there are some things that happened before that, and we'll talk about that. And as we go through these demands, we're going to see that. But we need to repent. Mostly because what we do as humans is really an assault on God. For me to tell Dean how to mow his lawn is actually an insult to him because I know he knows how to mow his lawn. That's an insult. So when we do our own thing, when we follow our own paths, when we have our own attitudes about things, that is an assault on God. We think that, you know, something doesn't quite go our way, and what do? We're upset with that person, and we're upset with them, and they're feeling that I'm upset with them. God's saying, you do the same thing to me. You're assaulting me. So we need to repent, and Jesus knew it, and he started his ministry that way. And it's crucial that we do it because judgment is coming. So what is repentance? Well, I first want to begin by saying what repentance is not. Repentance is not merely saying, I'm sorry for my sins. That is not repentance. That's feeling sorry, if you truly feel sorry. You can't just say, I'm sorry, and that's it. I'm done with it. I mean, we need to have that godly sorrow. If I offend somebody, I need, and I'm really truly sorry that I offended them, I need to apologize to them. I need to say I'm sorry and really feel it. But what happens if I say I'm sorry and then I do it again? Was I really repentant? No. I try to teach my kids that. They'll do something wrong. They'll say, I'm sorry. You said that the last three times you did it. Don't tell me you're sorry until you're going to stop. Sorry is fine, but you need to repent, which means you need to stop doing it. We need to say we're sorry, believe me. And we need to forgive and ask for forgiveness. They're part of that process. But when we stop with just that, our repentance is not complete. full and complete repentance, which is what Jesus is calling for, what it does, it involves a change in our heart and a change in our mind. I know that my kids, when they do something that they're not supposed to do, that it is an action that they're taking, but the action, their physical action is not where the problem lies. The problem lies in here and in here. And repentance is where we change, ask God to change my mind and change my heart. Because if I don't do that, I will either continue to do the act that I shouldn't be doing, or I'll do something else that's much worse. I'll continue to be that type of person. No one can repent, though, and come to God unless God pulls them to Him. It says in John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. What does that mean? That means a couple of things. There's a couple possibilities here, and I don't know which one it is with every person, and everybody could be different. For number one, if you have somebody who is doing something that offends, that is offensive, that is wrong, and they keep doing it, but they keep doing it, and they never change the action, they never change their attitude, they never change their mind, they are either ignoring God or God's not calling them. One or the other. If God's calling them, they are ignoring Him. If He's not calling them, that maybe they're not His child. It's possible. And I can't say which it is, but those are the possibilities. So that's what repentance is not. We don't want to say that repentance is just saying I'm sorry, because that doesn't finish it. That is an incomplete repentance. Repentance means changing of the heart and changing of the mind. So what is repentance? The word here, and I want to go back to what the Greek word here is mataneo. Mataneo, it has two words in it. Neo, which means mind and thought, and meta, which means changing direction. So the Greek word that Jesus is using, that Matthew was using when he wrote this, was change of the direction of your mind and your thought. Not just your action. Well, I promise I won't do that again. Well, what if the mind is still not, and the attitude and the heart is still saying I'm going to do it, but the action, you know, you've got to change the mind and the heart. So repentance is to move or change the direction of your thoughts, your perceptions, your dispositions, and your purposes. Change your heart and mind. Because see, what happens is when we change our heart and we change our mind and we change our thinking, it changes our actions. If I do something against Brian because in my heart, I have this, something's wrong with my heart, I'm not thinking right, and I go to him and I say, I'm sorry, he says, I forgive you, and God changes my heart, I won't do that again. And if I do it again, what's he gonna think? Well, that repentance and that I'm sorry wasn't real. We need to have that change. In Luke 3:8-9, it says, bear fruits in keeping with repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I tell you, God is able to raise from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. What he is saying is, you need to produce fruit in your life, keeping with repentance. If I've repented, my fruit will be different. I have 4 fruit trees in my yard. 2 apples, a peach, and a plum. I got 2 pears, but they're off at the distance. Now, my peach tree cannot sit there and say, I want to be an apple tree. And start doing something it's not supposed to. If it does, it needs to repent and start making peaches. See, it's bearing fruit based upon repentance. It's based upon what it is. You and I are children of God. If we repent with God and we repent with each other, because we're supposed to not only love God, but love those around us, we will produce fruit that keep with that repentance. Because like I said, it does no good to ask for forgiveness for our sins and ask for forgiveness from those we have wronged if it's not going to change, if the actions and the thoughts and the attitude isn't going to change. And when we do something wrong, if we sit and say, well, I have no reason to ask God for forgiveness, or I have no reason, I've never wronged anybody. When we do that, we refuse to ask for forgiveness from God. In other words, we are declaring that we have done nothing wrong. In the essence, we're saying that I have not repented because I don't have to be. I'm sorry, we do have to be. As we read the rest of this encounter, if we read the rest of this encounter in Luke 3, and what Jesus says, we find that Jesus gives them specific actions they must take. And it's not that we have to prove to anybody. It's not like if I did something wrong that I have to prove to that person that I am, that I have repented. If I offend somebody, if I offend Trent, I don't have to, you know, go overboard and prove that I'm not going to do it again. I shouldn't do it again because that's who I should be. There's certain steps I need to take. I need to not do it again. So first one, I need to have a right attitude. I need to pray for God to change my heart. And it is that repentance that helps us want to do the right thing. If we're not repentant, we're not going to want to do the right thing. Acts 3:19 says, repent therefore and turn back, but your sins may be blotted out. When we repent, that blocks out our sins. Now, yes, it is the blood of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that he made. But when we repent, it blocks out our sins. We must accept the forgiveness that Jesus gives us. And that's what repentance is. We're going to talk a lot about these kinds of things in the next few weeks. Not so much next week, but the week after. About what does it mean to believe in Jesus? Because he says you're supposed to, if you believe in God, believe also in me. It's a demand he makes of us. We have to accept that forgiveness. And we do that through repentance. The Apostle Paul confirms what Jesus says. He says the same thing that Jesus said. And what did the Jews try to do to him? They tried to seize him. In Acts 26:20, we see this. He says, but he declared first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all of the region of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God. Paul is telling them, you're doing it wrong. This is what you need to do. You need to repent to God. You're doing it wrong. You're not living the way you're supposed to live. Repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance. When we repent, it causes us to do good deeds. And it's something that happens in here. It changes us. It changes us so much that our behaviors change. This last week, I've gone on a very strict diet. My behavior has changed. So at night, instead of going and getting a bowl of cereal, I'll go grab some nuts. Some macadamias, you know, something different. And I'm getting to the point now where I don't even want to even do that sometimes. My attitude about it is changing my behavior. Now, why couldn't I do that before? Because inside I had not decided, I decided I wasn't going to do that. I was going to eat whatever I wanted. Because I loved it. It tasted good. I wanted it. But I changed. My heart towards myself changed. I needed to do this. And so I started to do this. Now, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I was smelling those cookies and donuts out there. I walked away from them. Stepped away a few steps. But see, that the change in our hearts changes our actions. And when I repent, when I ask God to forgive me and I understand how much he loves me, it changes my actions. If your actions aren't changing, look, are you truly understanding your relationship with Jesus? Have you truly repented? Repentance is not doing something new, but it's a catalyst for us bearing fruit with these new things we're doing. It's the cause of us doing good things. It's the fruit that we bear in keeping with repentance. We're not the same. We're born again. Listen to last week's sermon if you want to understand about being born again. What does that mean? We are a new creation, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. If we're in Christ, we're new. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. See, Jesus is, when he says, repent for the kingdom of heaven it is near, the kingdom of God is near, what he is saying is that you are a new creation. When you repent, that you are going to experience something new inside of you. It's not just that I'm changing what I'm doing, but it's something new in here. Jesus wasn't the only one who talked about it. Peter did. When Peter was given his sermon at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, he concludes with a call for the people to repent. And it says in Acts 2:38, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of the Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, what was Peter calling them to repent from? They had rejected Christ. They had wanted him nailed to the cross. He wanted them to change their minds and their attitude about Jesus. Guess what? The same thing is with you. If you've not come to a true relationship with Jesus Christ, you have a different attitude than you need to have about him. You have different thoughts about him. You have different feelings about him. And you need to change those. You need to repent of your sins. This is the thing. If I've wronged Brian, but I never repent of what I did to him, do you think he's going to want to be around me? After a while, he's going to say, I want nothing to do with you. And that's what Jesus is saying, because why are we to repent? We are to repent because the kingdom of heaven is near. Judgment is coming. Repent. We need to change our minds. Hate our past and embrace faith in Jesus Christ as our Messiah and our Lord and our Savior. And it needs to change us inside. Repentance also involves recognizing that we've thought wrongly in the past. And, you know, I don't like it when I think wrong. I like it better when I catch myself thinking wrong than when other people catch me thinking wrong. I don't like it. But you know what? And Christ wants us to admit it. Admit that you're wrong. Admit I'm a sinner. Admit that I did something wrong. Even today, believe me, I have repented of my sins. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. But I want to be honest with you. There are some days I still have to repent. Lord, forgive me for what I did today. Help me not do that anymore. Help me not to think that way. I'm still fighting that sin nature inside of me. Paul says, put it to death. Well, it's dying slow. Sometimes I stab it with a knife, shoot it with a gun. Other times I just poke at it. And it pokes me back. And I need to repent and surrender. It's not about, and believe me now, it's not about my salvation. I'm securing my salvation, but God is changing me. He's growing me. He's sanctifying me is the term for it. He's changing my life, and I still struggle with that because that means I have to surrender more. I have to look at my past and say, that's not what it's about. I need to change my disposition. I have to have a new way of thinking about God and about sin, about holiness, about doing God's will. And a lot of times, true repentance will actually give me godly sorrow. I'll feel so bad. And many times, because I've offended somebody else, not only do I have to ask God to forgive me because he told me to love my brothers and sisters, especially my brothers and sisters in Christ, he told me to love them, and I'm doing something I shouldn't, saying something, feeling something I shouldn't. I also have to go to them and I have to ask them to forgive me and repent with them about it. Because if I don't, it's breaking that relationship and I can't. That's not what Jesus wants. Godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret. That's from 2 Corinthians 7:10. But see, worldly grief produces death. We need to think of repentance and faith as like two sides of the coin. See, you can't put your faith in Jesus Christ without first changing your mind. You can't have faith in Christ and still live the life that you want to live. a life of sin, the life you lived before. You can't do both. Biblical repentance in relation to salvation is changing your mind from rejecting Christ and embracing Him. Because I can't do it by myself. Think about that. I'm not just accepting Christ. I am embracing Him. And I think I'm just going to hold on to Him and take Him with me. Because I'm going to need Him daily, moment by moment. Another thing we got to remember about repentance is something that God gives. It's not something that I do. It's something that He gives me. It's only possible because of His grace. I don't deserve it. He gives it to me freely. In Acts 5:31, it says, God exalted Him at His right hand as leader and Savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. It is repentance that Jesus gives us. And if it wasn't for God's grace, I'd never be able to do it. So God exalted Christ so that He could give repentance to Israel. Then later, God expands His reach to the Gentiles. Because in Acts 11, it says, when they heard these things, they fell silent and they glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life. He gave it first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles, just like He said He was going to. So no one can repent unless God grants repentance. All of salvation, including repentance and faith, is a result of God drawing us. Remember Jesus, nobody comes to Me unless the Father pulls them, unless He pulls them to Him. So God draws us to Him. He calls us. We answer, and it changes our hearts because we see that we are sinners and we need to repent, and we repent. And we're saved. We get grace and we get the Holy Spirit. And we begin to grow. And we have to repent every once in a while again too, saying, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm still learning. It's like the song's always in my head. The song, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. Oh, how happy I will be, He's still working on me. He's still working on us. I always have to remember what Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3:9. It says, the Lord is not slow in fulfilling His promise, as some count slowness. Man, I wish He could just download into my brain everything I need to know and into my heart everything I need to be. And He's like, no, Christopher, you need to work on this. Because the only way you're really going to do this is if I put you through let you go through these things that are going to try you. The only way you're going to get rid of your selfishness is to get in a situation where you feel selfish and learn to overcome it. And learn to not give in to it. What is great is what Peter says the rest of that verse is, but He is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come and should reach repentance. Don't take God's patience for granted. I do believe there comes a point where the Holy Spirit says, I'm done. There's going to come a time when Jesus says, it's over. No more. And it'll be too late for everybody who hasn't accepted Him. The day's coming. Jesus said it was. Repent. For the kingdom of God is coming. Repent. Judgment is around the corner. God is being extremely kind to us right now. Romans 2:4 says, or do you presume on the riches and of His kindness and the forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? God loves you. He's kind. He wants you to come to repentance. He wants you to ask for forgiveness. He wants you to accept Him and to have your life change, your mind change, your soul change, your heart change. He wants you to start acting different because of that. And He's patient with you. Probably more patient with you than you are with yourself. But don't take that for granted. So what does repentance really look like? I gotta get a good picture of this. And probably the best picture we have is Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. He was a man, he cheated and he stole from the very people he was supposed to love. He was a Jew and he was a tax collector. And as a tax collector, the Romans would say, this is how much you have to collect. But you could hit it a little higher. So, you know, you had to collect a 1% tax. Well, I'll do 1.5% and I'll keep that extra half. Now, granted, Romans didn't care as long as they got their 1%. And communication wasn't like it is today. So there was no Facebook where people could say, hey, what are you paying on the road tax? You know? They didn't know all that. So you could get away with quite a bit. And he was cheating people. And he was despised. He was a little man. I don't know how short he was, but he was a little man. But as he was in the tree and he sees Jesus and he begins to believe in Jesus and Jesus comes to his house, something begins to change in Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus starts to change his heart and change his mind. And what happens to him, we see it in Luke 19:8. It says, Zacchaeus stood, he stood in the middle of all this. He just stands up and says, behold, Lord, he's talking to Jesus, the half of my goods I give to the poor. So he says, I'm going to take half of everything I have and I'm going to give it to the poor. And he says, and if I have defrauded, and I'm sure everybody in the room is saying, if, you have. Many of us in this room, you've defrauded. If I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. So if he cheated somebody of a dollar, he's going to give him four. Or a denarius, he's going to give him four denarius. A denarii, whatever. That's repentance. Repentance changes us instantly. So our attitudes are different. Now, we don't know whether Zacchaeus actually did it. We assume he did. But I'm sure there are some other areas in his life that he had to work on. But these two he was going to do immediately because he repented in his heart. Because Jesus says, today, salvation has come to this home. And he actually calls Zacchaeus the son of Abraham. That's an honor. So why do we need to repent? Well, obviously we're all sinners. Hate to tell you, you're a sinner. We all have sinned. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And if we've all fallen short of God's intended glory, Jesus calls us to repent. And that first step is restoring God's glory in us. The first song we sang, be glorified in me. That's part of that process. Be glorified. And so how are we glorified in God? It's because when we do good deeds, keeping with repentance and we're glorifying God, the people look at us and say, whoa, wait a minute. That's not normal. They have every right to be mad. They had every right to be frustrated. But what are we doing? We're showing love, compassion, understanding, sacrifice. But we're sinners. How does that happen? How does a selfish person do that? There's got to be something there. It's God. I told you earlier that that as sinners, we dishonor God. We offend him. We see that in the story of the prodigal son. The father gives the son half his inheritance and he sends it off. He goes off and he wastes his money in reckless living, devotes it to prostitutes. He lives the life. And when he's at the bottom and he finally says, well, I need to go back to my father because man, at least my father's servants eat better than this because he's slopping the pigs and he's not even able to eat that. And what does he say? He says, he comes back, the son does, and he grabs onto his father and says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. When we sin, we don't only just sin against other people, we sin against God himself, a righteous and holy God. And we must ask for forgiveness and we must repent, because it dishonors God. And what it does, it puts a debt upon us. When we sin, it puts a debt upon us. But the amazing thing about it is that Jesus paid that debt. I don't know. My debt, I'd hate to see what my debt is. But Jesus is like, doesn't matter. I paid it. Oh, man. Great. So I go to Jesus and I say, when I first became a Christian, I sat down there, I kneeled down there, I said, Lord, forgive me for all the wrong I've done. I need you in my life. And Jesus says, the debt's paid. A few weeks later, I screw up, do something I shouldn't do. And I'm like, oh, I can't believe I did that. And I go to Jesus again and say, oh, I did it. I screwed up. I'm sorry. Forgive me. He says, oh, debt's already paid. Oh, you don't need to suffer anymore? No, that's paid. Cool. But Paul says, don't take that for granted. Don't go back and keep sinning so that grace can abound. Because you're taking that for granted. That's not what it's about. It's about changing our minds so we think differently and do different things. We get to enjoy the free gift of salvation that Jesus paid for us when we repent. Changes our mind, changes our heart. So who needs to repent? Well, everybody. There's no one who's excluded from Jesus' demand to repent. If you can hear Jesus' words, you need to repent. There's a story in Luke chapter 13. And people, you know, they come to Jesus and they say, oh, but Jesus, what about these people? See, there were some people who had been killed by Herod. And actually he had mixed their blood with sacrifice. And the people say there were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans who blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Are those 18 of whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? See, you cannot look at the person sitting next to you and saying, well, at least I'm not as bad as them. Because we all need repentance. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you've done one thing wrong or a million things wrong. You still need repentance. Because all will perish who have not repented. It's a pretty urgent demand. Jesus says, you know, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. It's coming. You better repent. All need to repent, and it's so urgent that Jesus says, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And he's talking about, not talking about death, because man is destined to die and be judged. He's not talking about that. He's talking about eternal separation from God. He's talking about the second death. You and I, we need to repent. And we need to do it now. I'm not saying we need to beat ourselves up. What I am saying is today is the day. Time is short. I've repented of my sins, but that doesn't mean that I'm done. I need to keep growing and changing. My mind needs to continue to be focusing on God and not on myself, so that I am able to ask my brothers and sisters for forgiveness and ask God for forgiveness, and I'm able to forgive them when they've wronged me, and we grow, and hopefully we don't continue to do the same thing over and over and over again. Because that's not repentance. We need to repent because the day is coming when we will be judged. And yeah, I understand eternal security. I do kind of believe in that. I believe that I have been forgiven and I can lose my salvation, but it's going to have to be me intentionally losing it, intentionally walking away from Christ. That's my belief. I'm not telling you to believe that. That's my belief. But what I do know is that God has promised us, and you can go and read what Paul says about it. God has promised us that we will be rewarded for our walk. Salvation is what we get, but there are rewards in heaven, crowns that we get. And if I don't repent, I run that risk. I run that risk of losing a crown. I'm still got salvation. I'm still in. But I lose a crown. I have a list of crowns I was going through this week as I was studying. And one of the crowns is, there is a crown that people who do not give in to temptation, do not give in to their impulses, will get a crown for that. And I look at my life and I'm like, whew. Now, you can sit there and say, whoa, what's the pastor doing? I'm talking about eating even. This body's the temple of God. Am I taking care of it? My impulse is no. I don't want to. I want to eat what I want to eat. God says, no, take care of it. Now, is that a sin? No, but it's something I need to, it could be if that's my idol, if food becomes my idol. What I'm saying here is we need to repent of our sins. Not just once, meaning that those sins are done, but if I'm continuing to do something, I still need to repent. I need to repent of it and stop doing it. Because when we repent, it changes our minds. It changes our hearts and we start bearing fruit that goes with repentance. Jesus says, repent. It's a demand. Why? Because the kingdom of God is near. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. Lord, we know that we can't even repent without you. We also know, Lord, that you are patient with us and kind, and it's that kindness that leads us to repentance. Help us to understand that, Father, to understand that your kindness should cause us to want to change in our lives so that we are not thinking the way we used to. Thinking in our humanness, what we're doing is right. When it offends you, it offends those around us. Lord, help us to be your people. To bear fruit, keeping with repentance. And to bring you glory. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church, located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.